No, it's different. The applications for diagnostic radiology are the natural language processing, runs through the engine, and then they read reports, and based on keywords, they assign the codes, because that's very repetitious. Like, it's very just, a lot of it's templated too. What we're working on is an interactive tool where there's a lot of variation in procedures, and he designed it for positions, position in mind, where the physician is plotting on the anatomical diagram what he's doing, the point and click, and then at the same time he's doing point and click, it's generating an operative report and it's giving you codes. So he created it for doctors, but when he came on with me, I'm like, we need to get this to coders too, with a stripped down version. I said, because natural language processing software stinks for this. Anybody I've talked to, like, they cannot handle the complexity of this coding. And I said, so this would be a perfect tool for coders to plot in the steps that they're reading on the board, and then it spits out the codes for them. So now we have both, and that's what that does. It's different from just the engine reads the report, the codes in the board. It's just been really slow because he started a full-time consulting gig like last year. So he spent 40 hours a week doing that, 2 hours a week, and where he's at. So he's not putting in as much time. I want to say it could be 2 hours instead of traffic. He's in Canada, that's where he lives. And he's like in the car. So we do our meetings once a week on Thursday or Friday, and I'm in between them at 9 a.m. and 6 a.m.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. How are you today? Good. Well, would you mind standing up with me? We are going to start out, as we usually do, with a time of worship, a time of praise. The Bible says here in Psalm 150. In fact, before we do that, why don't you turn around, find two or three people you don't know and just say hi to them. Two or three people you don't know and say hi. There you go. The Bible tells us in Psalm 150, it says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, and praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and the flutes. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with the clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We came to praise the Lord today, didn't we? Come on, put your hands together. Give God a big hand of praise today. Give Him a shout, Lord. We came to praise You. We came to worship You. We came to lift up the name that is above every name, the mighty name of Jesus. Say, I came to praise Him today. Come on, say it out. I came to praise You, Lord. We're going to give You praise today. The Bible says that God inhabits our praise. When we begin to give Him praise, that's when His presence begins to manifest itself. That's what brings you into the presence of God, His worship. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. I will enter His courts with praise. I will be thankful and bless His name. The Bible says rejoice always. And again I say rejoice. Say, I'm going to rejoice today.
There's no one that can stand against. Sean, before we get there, let's enter his gates with praise. Come on. Enter his gate with, come on, shout it out. Lift him up. He is worthy. God, we bless you this morning. From our hearts, we reach out, God. We worship. We magnify you. Fill this place with your presence, God. presence of the Most High God, to raise your hand, to raise your voice, shout out a praise, sing out a song, pour out your love for him, for he is here. God, we reverence you, we magnify you, God, we glorify your name. Before I come.
Lord, there is none like you. You are everlasting. You are the name above every name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, I pray today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, I pray that you will meet Him today, that you will come to know Him today. Father, I thank you for every person that is here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would touch every person. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would touch every life. I pray, Lord, that every person would encounter you. I pray, Lord, that you would heal people in their bodies, that you would set people free, that you would strengthen, that you would fill people with peace and joy. This isn't right. Let me use that mic. I've got feedback. Lord, I thank you that you fill people with peace. You fill people with joy. I thank you, Lord, that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, touches everyone today. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Let not one person leave here the same way that they came in, but let them be changed, Lord. Let us be changed from glory unto glory. And Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. Have your way in this place today. We lift up the name of Jesus. Say, I praise the name of Jesus. I lift up the name of Jesus. I'm not embarrassed to sing and shout and praise my God. I'm not embarrassed to lift up the name that is above every name. There is no God like our God. Lord, you are amazing. You are awesome. There is no God like you. We bless you today. We praise you today. We praise you today. We praise you, Lord. Let me tell you, it takes a man to be able to stand up and give God praise. Anybody can go down river. Let me tell you, the whole world is going down river. Any dead fish can float downstream, man. It doesn't take anything to go downstream. You know what takes courage? You know what takes strength? You know what takes a man to go against the stream? To be the one who stands up and says, I will give praise to God. I will lift up the name of Jesus. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. All that I care is what God, what you think about me. Let me tell you, that takes a man. That takes a real woman. Our society has got the whole thing backward. We think the rebels are the one that, you know, the Rolling Stones are the rebel. Let me tell you, the rebels are the ones who will stand up and go against the direction the entire world is going in. And say, I will stand for righteousness and I will give praise to my God. I'm not embarrassed. I'm bold. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Say, I am as bold as a lion. Say, I am bold to give praise to God. Say, I'm bold to speak the name of Jesus. Say, I'm bold to tell people about Jesus. I'm bold to pray. Say, I'm as bold as a lion. Amen. You ever seen a lion? I mean, not in the zoo. Have you seen a lion up close? I've been up to a lion that's 2 feet away. Closer than that. And let me tell you right now, that lion is not intimidated. There's nothing that intimidates a lion. They don't call him the king of the jungle for nothing. And the Bible says we, the righteous, are bold as a lion. Not a pussycat. Not a chihuahua. Not even a bulldog. It says we're bold as a lion. Because you have the lion of the tribe of Judah living on the inside of you. Amen. Let me tell you. Jesus came to the earth. Meek and mild. Born of a virgin. In a stable in Bethlehem. But when Jesus comes back, let me tell you, he's coming back with fire in his eyes. He's coming back as the lion of the tribe of Judah. The trumpet's going to sound and Jesus is going to descend to the Mount of Olives. Let me tell you, he's coming back as the ruler and the reigner and the creator of the entire universe. Lord, we give you praise today. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. There's nobody like you. There is none like you. Lord, we pray, fill us anew with your Spirit today. Touch us afresh with your Spirit today. We're not here out of a religious obligation. We're not here out of a religious duty. We're here to meet with you. We're here to hear from you. We're here to be touched by you, Lord, to be changed by you, to encounter you. I pray, Lord, that every person will have an encounter with you today, that their life will be changed in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, shout out amen. Give God another big shout of praise. Give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah.
My everlasting and eternal nature, says the Lord. Do you know that as you have been born of my Spirit, that you are born into eternal things, that you are born into the everlasting, says the Lord. And where I dwell, there you dwell. And you are called to be kings and to be priests in this earth. You are called to rule and you are called to reign. And you are called to take the power that resides within you and to walk out my victory in your life, says the Lord. And as you magnify my name and you magnify my greatness and you call out who I am and what I've done and what I can do, so I'm able to do in your life what you cannot do, says the Lord. So you are tapping into the power that is engaged in, you engage the power that is within me, says the Lord, as you worship me, as you lift me up, as you magnify these characteristics about my nature, says the Lord, so they come to pass in your nature. So you're able to see that you are conquering. That every step you take, you are taking ground, says the Lord. Every step you take, you are gaining victory, says the Lord. You are gaining victory because it's the greater one that dwells on the inside of you. And as you magnify me in this place, says the Lord, there are great victories that are coming your way. There are great victories that are up ahead of you. Give me thanks right before it even happens.
Love that. We don't want to be a closed door bless me club. We know there are many more people that would love to be in a service. They just don't know it, right? And if you are here for the first time, the way we like to honor our guests is just by giving you a gift bag right where you're sitting. We don't want to embarrass you in any way, but if you are here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand? We can welcome you. God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you. Just come on, let's clap a little louder than that. We're so glad. So glad. Just keep your hand up till an usher sees you. Thank you, ushers. Thank you so much. In that gift bag's a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there hoping it'll be a blessing to you. Ushers, just over here. I see hands waving. James, over that side. Thank you. Thank you. And in there's also a white card. We ask you just take a moment, fill it out for us. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. Just drop that white card in. Gives the pastor an opportunity to call you, find out how you enjoy the service. And we thank you for coming. After the service, we hang around. We're usually the last ones, some of the last to leave. So please come over and say hi if we haven't greeted you already. Thank you so much for being here. Praise the Lord.
All right. Praise God. Well, how many of you know that this weekend is Veterans Day weekend and tomorrow is Veterans Day, right?
Memorial Day.
I got it mixed up. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, where we honor those who have sacrificed, given their life, really, for the freedom that we enjoy, right?
Yes.
You know, Jesus said this. He said, no greater love does a man have than to lay down his life for his friends. Is that what it says? Jesus said, there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. Now, you know, the thing about people that serve in the military is very often they lay down their life for somebody they don't even know. Yeah. Not necessarily for a friend, but for someone they don't know. So we thank God for everyone who served. Amen?
Amen.
And we have a video we want to show a prayer of a Memorial Day, right? Thank you. He joined the Navy when he was 12 years old, and the Merchant Navy, and then went into the Royal Navy and served during the Second World War, and three times was shipwrecked. I don't know if they call it shipwreck. They call it shipwreck. The ship went down, and he was in the water. And so we thank God. We appreciate those that have given their life so that we can sit here today.
Amen. Amen.
Live in this great nation.
Yes.
Enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy, right?
Yes.
Isn't that right, Tom?
Yes.
Praise God. I think we have some folks here, some graduates here today. I spoke to a couple of people just graduated from high school, just graduated from college. If you're a graduate in any way, would you mind standing up? We want to pray over you today. If you're a graduate, won't you stand up for us today? Maybe God bless you. Congratulations. Praise God. Well, are you ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
Let me just say this to you, that today two different registers are going to be passed around. The first register is our attendance register that we normally send around every Sunday. We just fill in your name. We appreciate that. But there's a second register, and this is what the second register is for. Every month, on the last Friday of the month, we've been having what we call an inner circle meeting. Inner circle is a leadership meeting. It's for anyone really who wants to get involved and be close in the inner circle of what's going on in our church. And so we've been doing that on the last Friday of the month, and we've had two, I think, or three. And it's been great. But I've decided for this month, instead of doing a Friday night, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to do a barbecue at my house on Saturday. So this Saturday, this coming Saturday, I'm having a barbecue at my house at 1 p.m., from 1 p.m. till 5 p.m., and we would love for you to be there. So I sent out one of our easy texts where everyone gets that weekly text. I send a text to everybody. Did anybody get my text this week? Wave your hand if you got my text. Hold up your hand if you got my text. Hold up your hand if you didn't. Okay, some folks are not holding up their hands. They didn't or they did. Neither one. But you should get a text. Every week I send out a text. It's a mass text. And it'll have your name. It'll tell you what's going on this Sunday. This is what's going to be. And I mentioned the barbecue in there. If you don't get that text, you need to contact Dan at the office. And we'll find out why, because you should be getting it every week. So a lot of people have already replied. If you're not aware of it, if you'd like to come to the barbecue at my house this Saturday, when that register comes by, please fill out your name. We need to know how many people to expect. You're welcome to bring your children. You're welcome to bring your significant other if they don't usually come to church with you. Your wife doesn't usually attend, or your husband doesn't usually attend. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend, bring them to the barbecue. It's a good opportunity for them to just, see that we're not a bunch of nuts and that we actually have fun. And bring your swimsuit for the kids. Bring your swimsuit. And also, there's a list on that as that little register comes by. There's a list of what we need you to bring. We need you to bring a side. We need you to bring a soda. You just write down what you're going to bring. We need desserts. We need sides. We need meat. We need drinks. So just write down, this is what I'll be bringing, and so we know how many to expect. Did everybody get that?
Yes.
Now I hope that you'll be there, because we would love to have the opportunity to just spend some time fellowshipping and getting to know you and barbecuing and just having some fun. So that's this Saturday at my house, 1 o'clock, and just fill your name out. And if you're not sure where I live, then come talk to me and I'll give you my address. I'm not going to put it over the internet, but if you come talk to me, and I'll give you my address. We would love for you to be there on Saturday. Amen? How many of you invited someone to come to church with you today? Wave your hand. You invited someone to come to church. Hold your hand up. Well done, Tony. I know you brought some friends with you. Thank you. So glad you did. Don't forget, we've got a new little invite card. It's a little smaller than the other one. Please make sure. Does everyone have some of these invite cards? I want you to have one when you go home today, because I want to encourage you to invite someone to come to church with you next Sunday. I want you to get in the habit of inviting someone to come to church with you every week. It's a good habit to get into every week. Who am I going to bring with me to church this week? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Try not just to get too excited about it. Does anybody have an invite card? If you do not have one, wave your hand if you don't have one. All right, the ushers did good, man. There's a couple of folks there that don't have one. But that invitation card, invite somebody next Sunday to come to church. What do you say?
Yes.
Praise God. Say, I'm ready for God's word.
I'm ready for God's word.
Then today, I'm going to
hear God's word,
and it's going to change my life in the name of
Jesus.
I want to speak to you about faith versus fear. Well, you might say choosing faith instead of fear. Because every day we have a choice. You can either believe that God is in control You can believe God is taking care of you. You can believe that good things are in store. Or you can go around worried, negative, expecting the worst, wondering if you're going to make it. Jesus told us in John 14, verse 27, the Amplified Bible, it says it like this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your heart be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourself to be fearful. Do not permit yourself to be fearful, intimidated, cowardly, unsettled. Notice it says don't permit yourself to be fearful. That means I've got a choice.
Yeah.
Right? I can either permit myself to be fearful or I can, or not. I can choose fear. I can choose faith. I don't have to allow myself to be afraid. I can choose to not be fearful. I can choose to be in faith instead.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Say, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. Now notice that fear isn't from God. God doesn't give you the spirit of fear. Fear is actually demonic. In actual fact, fear is a spirit. A demonic spirit. That's why it says God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. It's a spirit. And we must not accept it. We must resist fear. The Bible says in James 4 verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So you've got to resist fear. You've got to refuse to accept and allow fear in your heart, in your mind, in your life. There's over 100 scriptures that tell us not to fear. Over 100 scriptures. Like Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not be of don't fear. I'm with you. God said to Joshua in Joshua 1 verse 9. He said, fear not. Be strong and of good courage. There's over 100 places where God said, don't fear. So evidently, if God tells me don't fear, that means that I don't have to live with fear. I don't have to allow fear. God wouldn't tell me don't fear if I didn't have a choice about it. Right? Now what is fear? Fear, I looked it up. I did a Google. What does fear mean? And you know what it says? It says, according to the dictionary, according to the all-knowing internet, it says that fear is a feeling of dread or anxiety concerning the outcome of something. Fear is the likelihood of something unwelcome happening. Fear is panic, trepidation, distress, anxiety, worry, unease, uneasiness, foreboding, nervousness. That's all part of fear. What is faith? Faith is a complete trust in someone or something. It is a strong belief in God. It is confidence. It is optimism. It is hopefulness. Now, I don't know about you, but I choose, rather than being fearful and nervous and worried and have trepidation, I would rather have my faith in God, confidence in God, be optimistic, be hopeful, believe that God is taking care of me, turning it around, providing for me. I choose faith, not fear.
Amen.
What do you choose?
Faith.
I hear people say, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid my marriage isn't going to last. I'm afraid my children are going to get in trouble. They don't realize it, but they're choosing fear instead of faith. Because fear and faith have something in common. They both ask us to believe something. Something is going to happen that we can't see. Fear says believe the negative. That pain in your side, that's the same thing your grandma died from. You're probably going to die. Get ready. It's going to be the ending. Faith says that sickness isn't permanent. It's just temporary. The Lord is restoring my health.
Amen.
Fear says Business isn't good. You're going to go under. You're not going to make it. Faith says, God is supplying all of my needs. Everything I put my hand to shall prosper. Fear says, you've been through so much, you're never going to be happy again. Faith says, my best days are still out in front of me. See, here's the key. What you meditate on, what you think about, that's what's going to take root. If you go around all day thinking about that fear, and you let it play again and again and again in your mind, then you give it a right to become a reality, especially when you begin to speak it out your mouth. Because Job said, in Job 3, verse 25, he said, the thing that I so greatly feared has come upon me. The thing I so greatly feared has come upon me. The contemporary Bible says it like this, my worst fears have all come true. Do you know that fear opens the door for the enemy to make that a reality in your life? Fear is using your faith in the wrong direction. See, your faith will work in the negative as well as it'll work in the positive. Just like your faith can bring in good things, fear can bring in negative things. Don't speak fear. Speak faith. Are you with me?
Yes.
Sometimes I call someone up. Can I speak to Mr. Joe or Mr. Blogs? Mr. Jones? I'm afraid he's not here. I always want to tell them, don't be afraid. I'm sure he's coming back. People don't realize it, but they speak fear as part of their vocabulary. One man said, everything's going great in my life. I recently got engaged. My business is doing well. But instead of enjoying it, thanking God for it, then he said, I'm afraid it's not going to last. I'm afraid it's too good to be true. Something bad is going to happen any moment. Let me tell you, when you go around worried, expecting the worst, it's like you're inviting that into your life. You're drawing in the negative. You're helping that fear come to pass. Well, Pastor Steve, I'm afraid I'm going to get cancer. You just invited cancer. I'm afraid I'm going to get laid off. You just invited a layoff. Turn it around. Quit inviting defeat and sickness and bad breaks. Start inviting victory into your life. Use your faith in the right direction. When that thought comes to your mind, you're doing good, but get ready. It's about to come to an end. No, don't accept it. Don't let it take root. Switch over into faith. Say, no, Father, you said your favor would last for a lifetime. You said goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Not just a few days, but all the days of my life. That's activating faith instead of fear. One time, I was facing a situation that it really had the potential of turning out very bad. It had gone on for months. It actually went on for years. It actually went on for 4.5 years. Every morning when I woke up, the first thought came to my mind. First thought was, not going to work out. You might as well make plans for defeat. Not going to happen. The end. That's how fear is. Fear will try and dominate your thought life. You wake up in the morning, boom, that thought of fear comes right at you. If you allow it, let me tell you, fear will keep you awake at night. Fear will steal your joy, steal your enthusiasm. I was so tempted to be worried. Go around with like a dark cloud over me, you know, dark cloud following me around. But then God spoke to me down in my spirit, not out loud, but down here in my heart. He said, Steve, if you keep worrying about this, if you keep mulling over all the reasons why it's not going to work out, because of your worrying, you're going to allow that to come to pass. But if you trust in me, if you use the same energy to believe instead of worrying, then I will turn it around and I'll cause it to work out to your advantage.
Amen.
And so I've got a new perspective. I realize that worrying and fear and negative thinking it's not just a bad habit. It actually allows that negative to become a reality in my life. And I made a decision. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. And when I was tempted to get discouraged, I used that to remind myself to thank God that He's in control. And thank God He's fighting my battles for me. And thank God He's going before me and He's leveling the mountains. And thank God that He's taking what the enemy meant for my harm and He's turning it around and He's using it for my good. Do you know that's exactly what happened? That's exactly what happened. It was about the building. Our building, we were in a building on Center Street and went into foreclosure. We were sued for foreclosure. Went on for 4.5 years. And I can tell you right now, every day when I woke up, the devil told me, hey, it's not going to work out. It's not going to work. I gave me all the worst case scenarios. But I choose faith instead of fear. I choose faith. I would just say, Lord, thank you that you're fighting my battles. Thank you, Lord, you bring me out of this better than ever before. Thank you, you're taking what the enemy meant for my heart. You turn it around. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. That is exactly what has happened. That is exactly what has happened. Praise God. That's just what has happened. The Lord made a way supernaturally for us to get a new building, better location. Half the monthly payment. Half what we were paying before. It's all done. It's all done inside. Praise God. It's all done. It's all done inside. Praise God. I'll tell you about it in a little bit. And let me I heard about this Marine, 24 years old. He was about to report for his second tour of duty overseas. I think it was in Afghanistan, Iraq. Before he left, he told his family, he told all his friends, this is going to be my last tour. He said, I'm not going to make it out. I just know. Somebody's telling me I'm not going to make it home. His friends, his family tried to encourage him. He said, don't say that. Yes, you're going to make it out. Yes, you're going to get back home. He said, no, I feel it so strongly. It's going to be the end. Before he left, he wrote farewell letters to his wife, to his two children, telling them goodbye. He wasn't just convinced of it in his own mind. He acted on that fear. 3 months later, he was on a mission over in Iraq, and just like he thought, he hit a landmine and he was killed. The thing that he feared came upon him. I wonder what would have happened if he would have replaced that fear with faith. I wonder what would have happened if he got around saying, Lord, I thank you that no weapon formed against me can prosper. I thank you, Lord, that your angels are watching over me and protecting me in all of my ways. Maybe he would still be here. But I tell you what I do know. When you agree with fear, you are giving what you fear the right to come to pass. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 19, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. If two of you will agree, it will be done for them. God promises when we stand in faith with another believer, God will do what he said. And I believe that principle is true even in the negative. When the enemy puts a thought in your mind, if you agree with it, your agreement is what gives it the power to come to pass in your life. But if you don't agree, if you turn it around, when the thought comes to you, your children are going to get in trouble, your business is wicked, your children are going to go off the wrong direction, you say, no, I don't agree. My children will be mighty in the land. My children will fulfill their destiny. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You just stop that fear from coming to pass. If the thought comes to you, you better not go out today. You're going to have an accident. Don't say, you know, and you say, no, I don't agree. God has an angel of protection around me. The angels of the Lord encamp about me and protect me in all of my ways. Sometimes I get on my motorcycle. And sometimes the enemy will tell me, you better watch out. Someone's going to hit you. He'll put that in my mind. You ever had that happen to you? And I just, every time I ride my motorcycle, you know what I say? Lord, thank you for your angels that encamp about me and protect me in all of my ways in the name of Jesus. The angels of God are going to hedge a protection about me. Yes. And that doesn't mean I don't use wisdom. It doesn't mean that I don't use, you know, common sense. But I use my faith instead of my fear. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Don't come in agreement with that fear. Because if you don't agree, family, if you don't agree with that fear, then you stop that from coming to pass in your life. Amen?
Amen.
And that thought comes to you, that sickness, is you're going to die from it. It's been in your family for 3 generations. Just say, no thanks, I don't agree. With long life, God's going to satisfy me.
Yes.
Amen? Teresa, move on from me if you would. The only way it can come to pass is if God gives it the permission. And if God does, you can rest assured it's not going to work against you. It's going to work for you.
Hallelujah.
So you're going to pay attention to what you come in agreement with. Pay attention. We've got so many opportunities to live in worry. So many opportunities to live in fear. People are worried about the economy. People are worried about their health. Worried about their children. But God is saying to you what he said to me. Don't use your energy to worry. Use your energy to believe. How many of you know it takes the same amount of energy to believe as it does to worry?
Yeah.
I said it takes the same amount of energy to believe as it does to worry. It's just as easy to say, God is supplying all of my needs, as it is to say, I'm never going to make it.
Yeah.
It takes the same amount of effort to say, I'm going to live a long, healthy life, as it does to say, I don't think I'll ever get well. Well, like Pastor Theo, my pastor, his mother. I don't think I ever met her. She said, I won't live past the age of 50. She said it for years. Pastor Theo says he remembers when he was young, a teenager. His mom would say, I won't live past the age of 50. Guess how old she was when she died? You got it, she was 50. She died at 50. She said it for years. I won't live past the age. It's just as easy to say, I will live a long life.
Yeah.
I hear people say, I'm afraid I'm going to get laid off. Now, I understand what they're saying. They're concerned. It may be valid. But you can't go around meditating on that, expecting the worst, expecting to have a bad year. When you do that, you're using your faith in reverse. Instead of constantly worrying, just say, God, my life is in your hands. I know you're guiding, you're directing my steps. I'm not expecting defeat. I'm not expecting failure. I'm expecting to have a blessed year. I'm expecting to go over, not to go under. I'm expecting to have favor. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, what if I do that and it doesn't happen? Well, what if you do and it does? What have you got to lose? I mean, even if you were to get laid off, you don't have to get discouraged. You know, well, I told you it wouldn't work out for me, Pastor Steve. I told you it wouldn't work for me. No, stay in faith, knowing when one door closes, God will open another door. If you keep the right attitude, God will give you a better job with more money and more benefits, a better job than you had before. That's just the way God is. Are you using your energy to believe? Or are you using your energy to worry? Are you expecting God's favor? Or are you expecting to just barely get by? Because Jesus said in Matthew 9 verse 29, he said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. According to your faith, let it be done to you. Another translation says, have what your faith expects. What is your faith expecting? When Robin, our daughter, oldest daughter Robin, when she was a baby, she was so good. She was such a good baby. Can't say the same for Nadine. But can't say the same about Nadine. He cried 3 months straight. But Robin was such a good baby. And people would tell us, just wait till she gets to be two. Oh, she's going to turn into a different person. She's good now, but those terrible twos. And I said to Jill, I don't receive that. I don't believe it's going to be the terrible twos. I believe it's going to be the terrific twos.
Amen.
And we didn't have a problem with her when she was 2, 3, 4. When she was about 11 years old, people said, well, just wait till she becomes a teenager. Oh, you're talking about giving you problems. You're talking about giving you headaches. Wait till she becomes a teenager. Well, Robin's now 34, turning 34. She still hasn't caused us problems. She's married. She's got 4 children. Well, I will not come in agreement with fear and doubt and disappointment and bad break and negativity. I'm not going to agree and join my faith with that. I'm not going to activate my fears. I'm activating my faith. I'm not choosing fear. I'm choosing faith. How about you say, I choose faith.
Say,
I'm activating faith.
I'm activating faith.
See, we're not expecting our children to cause us problems. We're expecting them to excel.
Yes.
We're expecting them to do great things in life. With all my kids, I expected them to do well.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't finish high school, I said, you're going to finish high school, you're going to go through college, you're going to do well. I always put confidence into them.
Amen.
Your children will rise to the level of your expectations.
Right.
If you expect them to give you trouble or cause you headaches and not amount to very much, because you're putting your faith in your fears, you're allowing that to come to pass. Really, it's like you're believing it in.
Yeah.
Too many people today go around expecting the worst. I don't know about you, but I'd rather expect the best.
Yes.
I'd rather shoot for the stars.
Ooh.
And hit the top of the trees.
Yeah.
Than shoot for the roof and hit the floor.
Right.
Like this one lady I heard about, almost every night for years, she thought she heard a burglar downstairs. She would make her husband get up and go and check. There's a burglar downstairs. And one night, she thought she heard something. She told her husband, please get up, go check. He went down like he had 1,000 times before. This time, his eyes got this big. because he was staring down the barrel of a gun. The burglar was someone in the house. He said, "Don't make a sound, just give me your valuables." He got his valuables, handed them to the burglar. The burglar turned around, was about to run off. And the husband said, "Hold on, please, you can't leave yet. You've got to come upstairs and meet my wife. She's been expecting you for 30 years. How many of you know you've got to change what you're expecting? Don't go through life expecting disappointment, expecting bad breaks, expecting disaster, expecting sickness, expecting to go broke. That's putting faith in the fear, and that's what allows it to become a reality. Stop expecting the worst and start expecting God's favor in your life. Some people are being talked into having a bad year. They listen to the news so long. They're expecting their finances to go down. They're expecting to barely get by. Yep. You know how attitude should be. I'm expecting to have a great year. I'm expecting God to prosper me, even in a desert. I'm expecting every negative situation to turn around to my favor. That's what I'm expecting. Yeah. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity or cowardice or fear, but love, power, and a disciplined mind." In other words, we're not going to overcome fear and live a powerful, victorious life unless we're disciplined in our thought life. Right. We've got to be disciplined. That's where the main battle's taking place. Your mind is the bullseye of the enemy's target. If he can control your thoughts, he can control your whole life. If you don't guard your mind, it'll default to thoughts of fear and worry and anxiety and negativity. Because it just seems like that's the way it is. It's easy to be negative. It takes effort to be positive. Yeah. You're going to be disciplined in your thought life. Your thoughts are extremely powerful. It's your thoughts. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I heard about this woman. She bought a 6-foot plank for her bedroom. It was a ficus tree. She had plants all over her house. She was, you know, she loved plants. She was experienced with plants. But one morning she woke up, she looked at that plant. And out of the blue, she had the thought, that plant's not going to make it. That plant's going to die. And the plant was as healthy as could be. There's no reason for her to believe it was going to die. But she's made the mistake of thinking about that over and over and over, let it go through her mind. And then she told her husband, "I'm afraid that plant's not going to make it. I think I wasted my money." He said, "Why would you say that? It's perfectly healthy. All the other plants are doing great." She said, "Something tells me it's not going to make it. I just got this feeling." About 3 weeks later, she noticed the leaves started to turn yellow. A couple of days later, all the leaves fell off. A week later, the plant withered and died. One day she was praying. She heard God speak down on the inside, down in her heart. And the Lord said to her, "You killed that plant with your thoughts." You see, when we agree with the fear, it can come to pass. And she told her husband, she said, "I know this sounds crazy, but I think I killed that plant with my thoughts." He looked at her kind of strange. He said, I hope you're thinking good thoughts about me. Let me tell you, I wonder, here's my point. How many times have we killed our dreams with our thoughts? How many times have we killed our dreams with our words? How many times have we stopped God's blessing, stopped God's favor, stopped the healing, stopped the restoration? Because we're dwelling on the fear and we're speaking the fear instead of choosing faith. A lot of people go around with this nagging feeling that something's not going to work out. Afraid their business is going to dry up. Afraid they're going to lose their health. Afraid their children are going to go off course. Because they're not disciplined in their thought life, they allow that fear to take root. That's why you cannot agree with that fear. You've got to agree with what God says. Agree with what God says. Don't agree with what the fear is telling you. See, if you're going to live in victory, you've got to be disciplined in your thought life. What you dwell on is what you're inviting in. It's really what you allow to become a reality. So many people, they're allowing fear to stop them from enjoying their life. I mean, I remember Pastor Fred Price. Pastor Fred Price is retired now, but he founded the Christian Crenshaw Center out in Los Angeles. Where is it located? In Englewood. Yeah, I remember him telling how that he used to be afraid of flying in an aeroplane. Deathly afraid of flying in an aeroplane. And he was afraid of swimming. And he had this dream. His dream was to minister around the world. How are you going to minister around the world if you won't get on an airplane? I mean, that's a little difficult. Take you 4 weeks to get across to Africa on a boat. So he chose to believe God's word. And he started to confess God's word. I've not been given a spirit of fear. I've been given a spirit of love, power, and a sound, discipline, mind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
Do you know that since that time, he's flown over 1,000,000 miles? He also had a fear of swimming because of something that happened to him when he was little. So he chose to believe God's word. He started confessing his faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Today, he's a certified scuba diver. You couldn't get him in the water. Something happened when he was little, 7, nearly drowned. And he wouldn't go near water. Now he's a scuba diver. Wouldn't get on an airplane. Deathly afraid. Now he's flown over 1,000,000 miles. Don't let fear stop you from enjoying life. People have all kinds of fears. I mean, people are afraid to fly. People are afraid to travel on the I-95. People are afraid to go out in the rain. I had people this week didn't come to Connect Group. Why? It's raining. Oh, I forgot. You're going to go to the rain. Afraid to talk about Jesus. They're afraid to pray in public. Listen, you don't have to be controlled by fear. You cannot be in faith and be in fear. At the same time, they're opposite. Choose faith over fear. Amen? Now, I choose faith. I read about this man named Nick, not our Nick. Although he was big like our Nick. Nick's 6'5". Are you 6'5"?
3, I'm shrinking.
6'3". You're only 6'3". Alright, big Nick. That's not him. Another man named Nick. He was a big, strong, tough guy like Nick. But this Nick worked on the railway yards for many years. And he was one of the company's best, you know, employees. But he was a chronic worrier. He was always fearing the worst. He was always talking about what might happen. And one summer, the crew was told they could leave an hour early. They could go to a birthday party. The foreman was having a birthday party, and they could leave early. So Nick was working in the refrigerated box car, and somehow he accidentally got locked inside. He didn't have a cell phone, didn't have a radio. Everyone else had left early. And when he realized he's trapped in that car, he started to panic. He started screaming at the top of his lungs. He beat on the door for hours until his fists were bloody. Finally, his voice gave out. And he was aware he's in a refrigerated box car. He guessed the temperature must be below freezing. He began to fear the worst. He thought, if I didn't get out of here, I'm going to freeze to death. There's no way I can make it all night. And the more he thought about it, the colder he got. And he was shivering uncontrollably. He found a knife. He scratched a note on the wooden floor. The knife, the note said, so cold, body getting numb. This may be my last words. The next morning, the crew came in, they opened the box car, they found Nick's body curled up in the corner. The autopsy said that he'd frozen to death. But here's the amazing part. The refrigeration unit in that car was not switched on, and the temperature in the car when he froze to death was 61 degrees. He froze to death because he was convinced in his mind that he was in a freezing car. The thing that he feared came upon him. Let me ask you, are you fearing freezing to death, so to speak, even though it's 61 degrees outside? Because fear blows things out of proportion. It makes problems bigger than they really are. I mean, maybe God sent you here today for a perspective change. Maybe what you're fearing is never even going to happen. Maybe that obstacle that seems so big and permanent is really just temporary. Maybe like Nick, you feel trapped and everything's telling you you're never going to get out, you're never going to get ahead, you're never going to get well, you're never going to get married, you're never going to be happy, you're never going to be fulfilled. But God is saying, don't worry, the refrigeration unit is not switched on. I have you in the palm of my hand. No weapon formed against you will ever prosper. Will you say amen? It might feel dark, it might feel lonely, it might seem like it's not going to work out, but let me tell you, God is saying to you, if you will stay in faith, I will deliver you, I will protect you, I will heal you, I will provide for you, and you are much more valuable. The Bible says if God cares for the birds of the air, how much more will He not take care of you? I'll vindicate you. I'll restore you. God says, I'll bring you out. I'll bring you out better off than what you were before. But you see, you've got to do your part. Don't panic. Don't fear the worst. Don't imagine every negative thing that could happen. Instead, like David, say like David, Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. I may feel trapped. The medical report may not look good. My bank statement might say I'm not going to make it, but that's okay. Like David, I say, verse 13 of Psalm 27, I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will not fear though an army come against me. I will not fear. I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness. I know God is still on the throne. I know nothing I'm facing is a surprise to Him. I know the enemy doesn't have the final say. God has the final say. And He says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Say it. Say, thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph in Christ. Say it again. Thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph in Christ. So be strong. Have good courage. The Lord your God is with you. Say, the Lord is with me. Because I want to tell you, throughout your life, fear will come knocking at the door. Tell you the worst case scenario. Like that young Marine. You're not going to make it out. You're not going to stay healthy. Your business not going to make it. But here's the key. When fear knocks, let faith answer the door. Let faith answer. Don't give those thoughts of fear the time of day. Don't let them intimidate you. Answer back with faith. Lord, you said you'd fulfill the number of my days. God, you said that your plans for me are for good, not evil. You said what's meant for my harm, you'd turn around and use to my advantage. You promised you'd supply all of my needs. When fear knocks, let faith answer the door. See, when you give in to those thoughts of fear, it distorts your perspective. Fear is like a fog. It obscures your vision. It makes things look worse than they really are. You know, we lived in Cape Town for 8 years. We lived in Cape Town. And often in the mornings, we'd have fog. I mean, you can't see where you're going. I read, that a dense fog that covers a 7-city block area and is 100-foot thick can be contained in less than one glass of water. In other words, that fog looks so big, it looks so intimidating, but the fact is there's really nothing to it. It's just a bunch of vapors that can fit in one small glass. That's how fear is. Fear presents itself much bigger than it really is. Fear will tell you all the worst case scenarios, try and get you worried, try and get you anxious, try and get you panicking. In fact, fear is an acronym for false expectation that appears real. That's an acronym for fear. Fear looks bigger than it is. It looks intimidating. Fear will tell you, you're never going to get well, your child's never going to change, your finances, they're going to keep getting worse and worse. But when that fear comes to your mind, telling you you're not going to make it, or that sickness is going to be the end of you, or your marriage, your family is not going to stay together. Listen, you got to look that fear in the eye, and you got to say, fear, I know your tricks. I know your bite is not as your bite is not as big as your bark. You look big, you sound impressive, but I know that you're just like a fog. You may look permanent, but I know you're just temporary, and things in my life may look dark, they may look gloomy, may look like they're never going to change, but I've got inside information. I know the sun is still shining. It's just a matter of time before this fog dissipates, and it's going to be clear, and it's going to be beautiful. The Lord's giving me beauty for my ashes. That's how you activate fear. I mean faith instead of fear. When you choose faith, the greatest force in the universe goes to work on your behalf. I mean, those problems may seem big, but our God is much bigger. Your obstacles may seem high, but we serve the Most High God. When thoughts of doubt and fear, worry, negativity come at you, you've got to rise up like David. You've got to declare like David, Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I will not fear any evil, for you are with me. You're going to say, I will not fear. I will not worry. I will not dwell on the negative. You're going to look that fear in the eye and say, you don't intimidate me. I know who I am and I know whose I am. My God is faithful. If he said it, will he not do it? I choose faith and not fear. Amen. Don't be intimidated by that fear. Remember, it's just like a fog. It always looks bigger than it really is. It's not near as bad as what it's trying to tell you. But when you make the mistake of dwelling on that, and those fears turn into imaginations, our mind plays out every worst case scenario, just like you're watching a movie. Negative thoughts turn into negative imaginations. And if you allow it, a small fear can multiply and get blown way out of proportion. For instance, you have a pain in your side. It's nothing. You just had too much pizza for dinner last night. I mean, I had a little thing on my foot. It was like on both feet. It was like a little line. Like you'd scratched it. But the skin wasn't broken. So it was under the skin, like a red line. And I went for massage. And the therapist said, have you seen these two things under your feet? I said, no, I didn't. I looked at it. The devil told me, you're telling me it's this or it's that. Is the other even dying? Have you ever had that happen to you? But I just didn't pay attention.
Amen.
A couple of days went away. Yeah. But some people, they have a pain in their side, and the thought comes, that's cancer. Your mother had it. Your grandma had it. Now's your time. If you swallow that lie, you go around worried and discouraged and start speaking, oh, I think I might have cancer. Before long, you start seeing yourself in the hospital. You start seeing yourself not able to take care of your children. You start seeing yourself at your funeral. Fear will tell you, what if your company starts laying people off? You better start worrying. But you know what the Bible says? 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Bible says you've got to cast down every imagination and every thought that tries to exalt itself, that disagrees with what God's word. If I get a thought in my mind and it disagrees with what God says, then I reject that thought and I rather agree with God.
Amen.
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 You've got to cast down those wrong imaginations. You can't let those negative pictures play on the movie screen of your mind. You are the owner. You have the remote control. I like to have the remote control. Ask my wife. I like to have the remote control. I like to be able to determine what I'm going to watch. The only difference is when Brady, my grandson, comes over, we'll watch whatever Brady wants to watch. I have watched the movie Sing multiple times. But I tell you right now, when it comes to my mind, you got the remote control. Change the channel. If you're going to let your imagination run wild, let it run wild in the right direction, not the wrong direction. Put on a movie of you accomplishing your dreams. Show a scene of you overcoming that obstacle. See yourself healthy, prosperous, rising higher. You've got to do it by faith. I mean, in the natural, it might look like your family's never going to stay together. But your attitude should be, I'm changing the channel. I'm not watching that movie. I'm agreeing with God. I see my family restored. I see my children excelling. I see us fulfilling our destiny. You've got to choose the right channel. And if there are some of you, you've got to a new level in your life. If you just be more disciplined in your thought life and not allow these negative images to constantly play over in the movie of your mind. See, if you're going to stay, let me tell you, if you're going to stay in faith, and I'm going to close with this, if you're going to stay in faith, you're going to be careful who your friends are. You're going to be careful who you associate with. Do you know that fear is contagious?
Yes.
Do you know that worry is contagious?
Yes.
Negativity is contagious?
Yes.
If you're around people that are always complaining, they're always discouraged, that spirit can get off on you. If your friends are constantly complaining and talking about how bad it is, and they've got a doom and a gloom report. Let me give you good advice. Find some new friends, because that worry and that fear and that discouragement is contagious. And if you stay around them long enough, there's a good chance you'll catch what they have. And I know you love your friends. You don't have to be rude to them. Don't go tomorrow and announce to them, "Pastor Steve told me you're contagious, man. I'm going to stay away from you." Listen, do me a favor. Don't use my name. Be kind. Be respectful. But you just gradually kind of pull back. I tell you something right now. I don't hang around negative people. I minister to negative people. I minister to negative people. I don't hang around negative people. You shouldn't go to lunch every day with someone who's always crying the blues. Talking about how bad things are. You can't do this. Listen, it's going to affect you. Some of you may have to be around some people like that. Maybe your co-workers like that. You don't have a choice. Maybe you're married to somebody like that. Don't say anything. Just act. Just don't say anything. No one will know. And let me tell you, if that's the case, God will give you the grace to overcome. But what you need to do when you're not around them is take heavy doses of faith, heavy doses of hope. Fill your mind with victory. Because fear is contagious. But the good news is, so is faith.
Hallelujah.
Faith is contagious. Joy is contagious. Victory is contagious. That's why it's important to come to a place like CFC. You need to go around people of faith on a regular basis. Because let me tell you, do you know what's happening today? You're not catching a cold. You're catching healing. You're not catching defeat. You're catching victory. You're not catching doom and gloom. You're catching hope and vision. You're catching God's favor. I've got to warn you, we are contagious. Whether you realize it or not, you're getting stronger. You're getting more joy. You're getting more peace. Your faith is increasing. When you get around people that are blessed and happy and full of faith, and let me tell you, they're making you better. I know sometimes you may not feel like coming to church. Sometimes you don't feel like coming to church? Is anyone like that? You don't feel like coming to church? You know, sometimes maybe you had a long week, you're tired, or maybe you're feeling discouraged. But let me tell you, that's when you need to do it more than ever. Listen to Pastor Steve today. The day that you get up and you don't feel like coming to church is the day that you need to be in church more than any other day. You need someone speaking faith into you. You need to be around believers who lift your spirit. You know what? Your spirit's being lifted up today. You're drawing strength from each other. You might not even know the person sitting next to you, but their faith, their peace, their joy, their victory, getting on you, it's affecting you, it's making you better. I believe we're going to go out of here today stronger than we were when we came in. And in part it's because of the people around us. They're highly contagious. There is no obstacle that is too big for you. There is no enemy that is too powerful. Our God is all powerful. You may not see how it can happen, but don't use your energy to worry. Use your energy to believe. God has brought you through in the past. And how many of you know God's going to bring you through in the future? Surround yourself with people of faith, people who speak victory into you. Because your destiny is too great. Your assignment is too important. Your time is too valuable. Don't let fear intimidate you. If the things that we fear can come upon us, as the scripture says, how much more can the things that we have faith for come upon us? How many of you know God's power is greater than the enemy's power? When fear knocks, let faith answer the door. Don't come in agreement with that fear. Stay disciplined in your thought life. The reason why many people are down, discouraged, negative, because they're not guarding their mind. That's where the real battle takes place. You'll be disciplined in your thought life, family, if you'll choose faith instead of fear. I believe God is going to bring your dreams to pass. I believe God is going to pour out floods of His favor. I believe God is going to protect you. I believe you're going to overcome every obstacle. I believe you're going to defeat every enemy. I believe you're going to become everything God destined you to become. I believe you're going to walk in the victory. I believe you're going to prosper. I believe your health is going to be restored. I believe you're going to live a long, healthy life. If you believe it, give the Lord a big hand of praise. Give a shout today. Hallelujah. I preach myself happier. Praise God. Praise God. Say this, say, I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of love, power, sound mind, a disciplined mind. Say, I choose faith. I don't choose fear. I'm agreeing with God. In Jesus' name. How many of you got something out of this today? Bow our heads. I want to pray for you one more time. Bow your head if you would. Close your eyes if you would. Lord, I thank you for every person here this morning. And I don't know what everything they're facing. I don't know everything that they're going through, but you do. You know how many hairs are on their head. You know every detail of their life. And Lord, I pray for every person. I thank you for bringing them here today. And I thank you as we go out of here today that we go out with a spirit of faith, that we choose to live in faith. And Lord, I thank you right now for touching life, for touching hearts. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every fear. And I break every fear in your life. I command fear to go in Jesus' name. And I release faith. Why do you have your eyes closed? And why do you have your heads bowed? Before we conclude the service this morning, there's one more prayer that I want to pray, and this is the most important prayer of the whole service today, because I want to pray for people, anyone who's here this morning, and you are not sure where you stand with God. You're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord. I want to ask you a question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say that you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? You are sure about that? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you, if you died today, are you absolutely certain? Can you say that you know for sure that you will go to heaven? Because the good news is you can know that. You can walk out of here today. You can know that all is right. All is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you've ever committed, it's forgiven. It's washed away. You can walk out of here today knowing for sure that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Listen to me, dear friend. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you're sitting, while we have our heads bowed and while we have our eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer you're going to pray. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well with me and God. I want to make sure that every mistake, every sin I've ever committed is forgiven. I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you quickly, if you want to be included in this prayer, I want you quickly to lift your hand up high right now. Just lift up your hand. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Put it up high. Lift it up. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Number of hands were raised. I want to ask you, if you lifted your hand, please say this prayer. Repeat this prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Say it from your heart. Church, let's all say this prayer together. Everybody say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross, to shed his blood, to take my sin and my punishment. Lord, you said that if I would believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess Jesus is my Lord, you said that I would be saved. And so I do this today. Say this, say, I believe. Jesus, you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for me. And I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. Change me. Make me your child. Because today, say today, I choose to follow you, Lord. I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. Say this, from today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what your word says. Say, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own father. I'm your very own child. Say, heaven is my home. And my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Can you say amen, church? Come and be God's name for prayer. Praise God. We are always excited when somebody surrenders their life to the Lord.
Yeah.
There were a number of people this morning. I remember when I did, 16 years old, 37 years ago, my mother dragged me to a church like this. I lifted my hand. My life changed forever. You may not realize it, but God has a great plan for your life. And you're not here by an accident today. You're here because God destined you to be here today. Amen?
Amen?
If you lifted your hand as we close the service in a few minutes, I want to ask you, if you lifted your hand, please remain seated in your... Remain where you are for a few minutes afterwards because we have a gift we want to give you. If you lifted your hand, we want to give you a gift. Remain where you are. One of our counselors will come to you. We want to give you a couple of things before you go home. Amen? Praise God. Tell your neighbor you needed to hear that today. I needed to hear that today. Pastor Jill's got a few words for us, and then I'm going to tell you the news on our building. So hang in there for a couple of minutes. What do you say?
Awesome. Good message. Good preaching. Keeps the rest of us happy, right? We're going to receive the offering in a moment. We're going to have an opportunity to give to the Lord. But I just want to mention, Mandy, won't you just stand up for us, please? Mandy and Andrew arrange a lunch club once a month, and that's today. So Pastor Steve and I and our family, we're going to join them today. We're going over to the Thai Lotus. It's right across the road in the Staples Center, where Staples is. So it's directly, as you drive out of this Harborside, you just drive straight over into it, and it will be right after service. Come and have lunch with us, and we're all invited, so thank you. That'll be great. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to receive the offering now, and I just wanted to do an illustration for you. Is that okay? This is a pie. Hopefully I get to eat some of it afterwards, but this is a pie that represents our income, right? And so this is what happens. I'm going to have a problem with that one, with a handheld mic. First of all, what we do, the first slice of this pie is usually our mortgage, right? Or our rent, because that's kind of the biggest one, right? That's the biggest piece right there. So there's the slice of our pie. First slice of pie. Then we have a second slice of pie, and that's usually our car payment or our transportation and your gas and your insurance, and you know, the price of gas has been high, blah blah blah, all of that. So that's our car payment. We have our utilities. We've got to pay our utilities. We don't want our lights cut off, right?
Slice of the pie, then
It's not all that much left, but, you know, I'm going to have something for myself. I mean, I work hard, and I worked hard all week, and I'm going to have a little something for myself, right? So there's my slice of the pie, and I'll take it out. Oh, and yes, I need a gift to the Lord. I need a gift to God. Okay, what have I got here? We just... get a few of those crumbs. And you know, Lord, I really, I come before you, and I want to just thank you. I thank you for the breath of my lungs, and I thank you for my health, and I thank you for my job and my family, and I'm really sorry, but this is what I've got, so this is what I'm giving to you. Does that sound a little familiar?
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes we do that in that order because we're fearful that if we don't, we won't have enough for all those things that we have to do, right? And that's really the reason that many of us are not living a blessed life, and we can't seem to get ahead because we're only giving God the crumbs. That's what we're doing, is we're giving God crumbs. And when we live like this, then everything revolves around us.
Yeah.
Everything revolves around me. Nothing about this revolves around God. But then I have my second pie, and I decide to kind of change things up a little bit.
And so, every single week or every single time I get paid, I say, you know what? I'm going to take.
You so helpful. You take. You say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to take my tenth. And I'm going to give that to you first.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hold that up to you, Lord, and I'm going to say,
yes.
Lord, I love you and I'm grateful.
Yeah.
I'm grateful, I honor you, because you are my source. You are my provider. Everything I have comes from you. Without you, it's nothing.
Yeah.
And I trust you, Lord. I choose faith over fear. I choose to put my faith, by faith I give the first tenth, I give my first fruits, because I believe your word when you said, when I bring the tithe, that you will open the windows of heaven, a blessing over me, flood me with blessing. So Father, I'm trusting you today with my tithe. And when you do that, when we do that, family, what happens is, then everything revolves around God. Everything about this revolves around God. And then God does something. He comes and just... without it.
Yeah.
Amen? And I'd rather have a pie covered in cream than a pie without cream. Anyway, I kind of like that illustration, even though it is a big mess everywhere. Praise God. What did you say, Miguel? I wasn't gonna carry the table off, but thanks. You just after this pie is what you are, right? I know. Thank you. As you prepare to give, there's various ways we can give. Thank you to those who are watching online. You can go ahead and give right now. There's envelopes on the seats right where you are. You can give by debit or credit. There's ways to give, come up on the screen. And as we prepare to give, Dan, the man, prepared us a video that I thought was awesome, and we're going to play it just before we receive the offering, and then Pastor's going to just close us out.
Well, I just want to say this, you know, when it comes to giving, you can either give with fear or you can give with faith.
That's true.
Every Sunday, really, offering time is a test time.
Yes.
You know that? Because it's a test of where are you going to operate by faith or are you going to operate by fear. See, because fear says this, I better hold on to everything I got, man, because, you know, this could happen, that could happen, the other could happen, I better hold on to it. But faith says, God said, that when I bring the tithe,
into the storehouse. He opens the windows of heaven. So I'm going to believe what God says, and I'm going to give motivated by faith and not by fear. Amen. What's motivating your giving today? Faith or fear? Because faith is what opens the windows of heaven. And fear is what opens the door for the enemy in your life. I'm gonna be motivated by faith when it comes to giving. How about you?
Yes.
Amen? Yes. I'm gonna mention real quick before they show the video that we have great news. As you know, the Lord has done a miracle for us. Are we still online?